5 minutes after 3, and this meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee is now called to order. It's 3:06 p.m. Present are Representatives Gruenberg, Maru, Wallace, and Gall. We are expecting the other members very shortly, and I'll announce their presence as they arrive. Today, Representative Phillips is now present. Today, we are dealing with committee substitutes for House Bill number 12. By way of brief introduction, the bill was rather exhaustively, I believe, debated, and I think everyone understands what it's about. One of the major problems that was brought forward was that the dual nature of regulation, that is the concept of regulating the part of the utility which operates extraterritorially as apart from the, as opposed to the part of the utility that operates with in the city limits, would create a pattern of dual jurisdiction, dual regulation, if you will, and certainly create some devastating problems to the commission and to the utilities and to all concerned. However, the issue remains as to whether or not folks in an unregulated utility should have some recourse when there is bad service. The committee substitute has been prepared. It has the concurrence of the sponsor to address this as a statewide matter. And I would like to thank the Libertarian Caucus for providing us with these chocolate Santas for this meeting. The caucus is present, and all its members are here. Representative Kopanen has just joined us, and Representative Furness has indicated he will be here a bit later. I think at this time, I would like to get a motion on adopting the committee substitute for discussion.
So moved.
Representative Gruenberg has moved that we adopt for discussion committee substitute for House Bill 12. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the committee substitute is adopted for discussion. At this time, I'm going to briefly review the substance of the legislation for those members who are concerned about the second sentence in Section 3. I have been advised by Representative Gruenberg that he intends to make an amendment to delete that section. I believe the sponsor concurred.
No, just the final sentence.
Yes, sir. Just the second sentence of Section 3, subparagraph E of 29233.40. So for those members who would like to get a little ahead of us, they might want to note lines 25 through 27 and be aware that a motion is going to be made at the end of Commissioner Guess's testimony to delete that sentence beginning with the words "the membership." As a result, the substantive elements of this bill are as follows. Those publicly owned utilities which do determine to have an advisory board or a managing board, it indicates on line 16 and 17 of the first page that any resident of any area in which the service is being provided would have a right to vote on the election of the members of the board if it is an elected board. And on page 2, the other substantive portion indicates a mechanism for the customers to demand regulation if they so desire. That's the underlying portions beginning on line 5. I've been advised by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission that this bill has a zero fiscal note. It is not believe that any change in regulation is going to take place, certainly under current circumstances, and if at such time as it does, Carolyn Guess will speak to the fiscal ramifications. Representative Furness has now joined the committee. All members are present. I'd like this time to ask Commissioner Guess to come to the microphone, state her name for the record, and make whatever comments she feels are appropriate on the contents of this committee substitute. Commissioner Guess, please proceed.
Thank you, Chairman Ball. My name is Carolyn Guess. I am a member of and currently serves as chairman of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. With me on the teleconference is Commissioner Louis Adji, who is the attorney member of the commission. In regard to the committee substitute, not find the additional language, which is added in Section B, offensive in any way. We believe that this would give those customers of utility, of municipally owned utilities who reside outside the municipal boundary an opportunity to have someone respond to their concerns in the event that things got bad enough that 25% of the customer desired that kind of action. The 25% is consistent with the existing section of our statute, 4205.711. Small electric and telephone utilities that are currently exempt from our economic regulation and certification for that matter, because they gross under $50,000, also have the same provision that 25% of the subscribers may petition for regulation.
Excuse me, Carolyn.
We also find that small garbage utilities are exempt from the Commission's economic regulation, again, unless 25% of the subscribers or subscribers representing 25% of the revenue petition for regulation. And as was hotly debated last year by the legislature and enacted as K under that section of the statute, cable television service is exempt from economic regulation, again, unless 25% of the subscribers petition the commission for regulation. So unless there are any questions, I will wait to talk about the fiscal note, and unless you'd like me to speak to that now.
Representative Maru has one question.
Chairman, I have a question which is in two parts. One is that since it seems to me that 25% of the people should not be speaking for 100% of the people, or even for 51% of the people, the question is in two parts. Number one, suppose we provided for, as we do sometimes in general elections, that 10% of the people can put it on the ballot, and then there can be an election to determine whether a majority of the subscribers do want to be regulated by APUC. And your comments on that are requested. The other one is, suppose we just provided, which is has been a suggestion I made, suppose we just provided that all municipally owned utilities shall have one rate for every class, whether the people are territorial or extraterritorial. So your comments on that are solicited.
In regard to your first suggestion about putting it on the ballot, I assume that that would be on a municipal ballot. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. Since we're talking about extraterritorial customers, it would not be a municipal ballot. It would be a special ballot or APUC ballot or something of that nature. But 10% of the people could at least bring it up, and then we could have a ballot for the for everybody to vote on. Otherwise, we have 25% of the people deciding for 100% of the people.
Okay. I guess if in regard to that, I would say that I would have to go back. And there would be a fiscal note, because there are obviously going to be some costs, as far as the commission is concerned, in overseeing an election, as far as regulation is concerned. Frankly, Representative Maru, in my experience on the commission, if you get 25% of the customers who agree that there is something so wrong that they are asking for regulation, I think that you have a substantial problem there. I guess what I'm saying, I think if you get 25%, you may have close to 50. My experience has been, particularly with a co-op, that they have an extremely difficult time getting a quorum at their annual meetings, and sometimes those are less than 5% that are needed. In your second question, tell me that one again, because I was writing it down in shorthand.
Okay, the second question is that...
All units should have one rate?
right, that a municipally owned utility shall have only one rate for each class. In other words, they shall not discriminate against extraterritorial customers. And let's say if it's a household inside the city shall have the same rate as a household outside the city, as opposed to charging double or triple the extraterritorial customers.
Okay. I guess my reaction is, if you were going to do that, who would enforce that provision? And if it was contemplated that we would enforce that provision, the only way we could enforce that provision is through economic regulation. I would also point out that under the section of our statute 4205-391B, specifically under those municipalities which we regulate, which is only one, the municipality of Anchorage, it says a rate charged by a municipality for a public utility service furnished beyond its corporate limits is not considered unjustly discriminatory solely because a different rate is charged for a similar service within its corporate limits. So in regard to your second question, I would say we have problems with our existing statute, and if we would be expected to do any kind of enforcement of that, we'd have to have the regulatory authority to do it.
Chairman, what I have in mind specifically, and I'm looking at it here, my idea is to repeal Section B, as you just read, and to replace the word may in Section A above that with the word shall, so that it would read, a municipally owned utility shall offer uniform or identical rates for public utility service to customers located in different areas within its certified service area who receive the same class of service. This would apply to extraterritorial as well as territorial customers.
Okay, except Representative Maru, you're back in the section of our statute that where we economically regulate. You see, that's the problem. Now, we do not at this time regulate any municipality except the municipality of Anchorage because they are in fact in competition with another utility. So even if that was put in there, and let's say Fairbanks offered rates different outside its boundaries to rates inside its boundaries, it is not subject to that provision of the statute.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I think what we will have to do at this point, since that deals with the regulatory functions of the Commission in general, would be to defer that particular issue to the Labor and Commerce Committee if they wish to take it up, and to try as best as possible to move forward, unless a member does wish to make an amendment, in which case we can certainly vote on it. Representative Furness has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee is guest, and probably to Representative Rowe. It's been my understanding with the 25% requirement, it's a positive as opposed to anything else. If 25% of the people are dissatisfied, they can petition the APUC to hold a hearing to consider regulation, and I think that that's more of an adequate interpretation of it as opposed to the 25% being able to ultimately
automatically
encumber the other 75%. But it's somewhat of a benchmark of a number of persons to at least alert APUC that there is a problem, that something needs to be done, and they've used that 25% figure fairly consistently through statute based upon my experience over the last couple of years.
Quite right. That triggers the decision-making process that doesn't mandate regulation. It just starts the ball rolling on the decision by the entities involved as to whether or not to, in fact, be regulated.
Representative Gall?
Yes, ma'am.
I have Commissioner Edgy here, but it's both his view and my view that under our statute, that 25% would trigger the utility to be regulated. Now, we also have a provision of our statute under 711D where on a finding that no legitimate public interest will be served, we may exempt the utility from any or all portions of the chapter. But the way, frankly, since I've been on the commission, I don't know that we've had any entity, wait a minute, we did have Nikolsky. The people petitioned for regulation. I was going to say we hadn't had any that petitioned, but I think we had the entire village petition for regulation, indicating that something was wrong, and in fact it was. So it's our understanding, if you read that section of the statute, that that triggers regulation. But we do have the clause which indicates that we can make a finding that no public interest is served by regulating a utility.
Thank you, Commissioner, and I assume you would weigh the evidence on both sides before making such a decision.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Would you comment briefly now on the zero fiscal note? We do not have that in writing before us except as a memorandum, which was going to be in our packets. I'm not sure if it is or not. Yes, it is. We'll have the official document in our hands within a day or two, I'm told. Thank you so much. And we'll then submit that along with the bill to the next committee of referral. We will... they'll be acknowledging that zero fiscal note today, if in fact you would verify that that has been your finding.
That is our finding, Mr. Chairman. This bill does not create any additional work for the Commission at this time. This bill has the potential to create additional work in the event 25% of the subscribers of a municipal utility should petition for regulation. In that event, what the Commission would do would be similar to what it does when it does not have either the expertise or the staff to address a request that comes to it, and that is this. We submit a revised program to legislative budget and audit, indicating that we have been requested through a petition to regulate X municipal utility. We do not have the funds nor the resources available to do the work that is required to bring this utility in compliance under regulation. Therefore, we in fact borrow money through the revised program formula, hire the expertise to do the work, and then those monies are allocated to the utility. Have the specific authority to do that under our section 4205651. Therefore, we will not be putting a fiscal note with this legislation.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I appreciate the time you've spent with us today. We will have the line open for another 5 minutes in case you have a comment. Just state it. Otherwise, I don't believe we have any further questions for you at this time. And my thanks again. Representative Bruce.
I'll just be standing by.
Thank you so much. I'll just leave my mic open so that you can get some sense of what's happening. Representative Gruenberg.
Mr. Chairman, is an amendment in order?
Yes.
I would move to strike the last sentence from subsection, from section 3. It's a new AS 29.23.340 subsection E. And the sentence I would move to strike reads as follows. The membership of the board must reflect the composition of the user group to the extent possible, with at least one member of the board from outside the municipality, close quote.
Thank you, Representative Gruenberg. An amendment has been offered. Is there discussion on the amendment?
Call for the question.
There is discussion.
Representative Maru.
Mr. Chairman, before I offer my comments, I'd like to hear the comments of the maker.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you. Yes. Section 2, which would amend subsection B of the same statute, provides that the present language says, and I'm reading now lines 12 to 16 of the bill, now says that the board, well, first of all, subsection A, which is not printed here, states that the A municipal assembly or city council may, but need not, it says may, but doesn't say need not, may create a board to regulate a municipal utility. So first, it's not required that there be a municipal utility board at all. Secondly, subsection B, which is set out here, lines 12 to 21, would only come into effect if, in fact, the municipality has opted to create a board. If they do opt to create a board, and they have done so, there are two ways that the members of the board may be established. The first method is as set forth in lines 12 and 13, they may be appointed by the municipal executive, that would be the mayor, and confirmed by the assembly or city council. Alternatively, as stated on lines 14 and 15, the board could be elected at the regular election held annually on the first Tuesday of October, unless a different election date or interval of years is provided by ordinance. That would be municipal ordinance. Now, the underlined language, which was taken from a proposed amendment I had drafted and circulated around at the last meeting we discussed the bill, provides that if the municipality has opted to have the board elected, as provided on lines 14 and 15, then all residents of the area to be served, that would be both within and without the boundaries of the municipality, may vote. The language on lines 23 through 25 on the bill that would remain in and not be stricken by my amendment provides that all members of the area served, all residents of the area served, are eligible to serve as members of the board. So whether or not the board is elected or appointed, they would be eligible to serve. The language that I seek, and that was also part of my proposed amendment. The two things that I'm concerned about are that all members can vote if these members are elected, and secondly, whether or not they're elected or appointed, that all members equally be allowed to serve. The language that I seek to strike would make it much easier. The reason I want to strike the language is I think that the present language that's in here provides a very cumbersome method. Essentially, would require that the board be set up under either district-wide seats for appointment or districts for election. And with small communities like the community that the gentleman from Homer serves or Ketchikan or some of the smaller, they're large Alaska communities, but they are not large communities. It would be difficult, expensive, and cumbersome to have to create and reapportion election districts or appointed districts. Moreover, the second phrase, quote, with at least one member of the board from outside the municipality, could create an extremely unfair situation. And I'm referring, for example, to a situation in Ketchikan, where, as I recall, the figures we were given that are in our packet here, approximately 1% of the customers are out from an area outside the municipality of Ketchikan.
Excuse me. I'm very sorry. We're going to lose Carolyn in about 30 seconds, and you had two requests to her. I just want to get those done, and then it's back to you. Okay, Carolyn, we had two requests here. One is, please, your basic testimony on the bill, just a summary of your statements in writing, please, to the committee at your earliest convenience so that we can pass that on to the Labor and Commerce Committee. And a question of Lou, did you get an AG's opinion on the issue of equal protection that Representative Gruenberg asked you about?
I spoke to two AGs, and
I'll detail that.
Yes. Them by name because until
go ahead, sir.
General puts it out in writing, you know, he should have the option of being able to make the final determination. But based on what they told me, what I know, it is at least a more likely than not proposition that the legislation would survive any challenge on equal protection grounds.
Thank you, sir. I'll
advise Representative Gruenberg and the committee, and I'd like to thank you both again for your presence at this meeting. We're going to cut off now. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Okay, Max, go for it. Sorry.
Okay.
We're no longer on the teleconference.
By the way, Mr. Chairman, before I go on, I would, since the AG still has to render a final on that, could we ask for something in writing to pass along?
I'll have staff do that immediately after the meeting.
Okay. Mr. Maru, the second phrase, with at least one member of the board from outside the municipality, that could create a very unfair situation and certainly possibly unconstitutional, although these utility boards may not have to have equal provision here. That if only 1% of the members of the area, the people who are served, are from an area outside the municipality, that would give a disproportionately large share of the members on the board to people from outside the municipality. And I think both portions of that last sentence are unfair. And that's the reason why I'd like to strike that sentence.
Representative Maru? Oh, excuse me, Representative, could I just clarify the statements I made to Carolyn there so you'll know what I said just for the record? Representative Gruenberg asked with regard to the fact that this bill relates only to groups of people served by public utilities when some of those people are outside the municipal boundaries. The question was asked, well, since this only relates to the utilities that serve both inside and outside and doesn't relate to the utilities that only serve inside, would that be a lack of equal protection under the law? The response was that insofar as the city councils are elected by the people inside and the people outside do not elect those city councils, that it's a different class of people and it's their opinion that it's okay. And we're going to get a written opinion on that as well as Commissioner Guess's written comments. And that clarifies what went on there, and Representative Maru.
Thank you. Max, you've taken one extreme, which is 1% of the people outside who would be required, be mandated to have 20% membership of the board. That was not my original intent, and that was not in my original language. And I was not recommending that we have 20% of the board represent 1% of the people outside the city. I'm more concerned with the other extreme, where 40% or 49% of the people are extraterritorial, and the other people inside the city could control and very possibly would control any area-wide election. So that 60% of the people inside the city could elect all the members of the board, and the 40% outside the city are still left out in the cold, which is the situation we have now with FMUS, as I understand it. And what I was trying to do, my original language said the membership of that board, whether appointed or elected, shall accurately represent, insofar as feasible, the territorial, extraterritorial subscriber composition. And that's what I would like to see. Now, I would agree with you that lines 27 and the last third or whatever of 26 could result in 1% of the people getting 20% representation on the board. But if we strike the remaining or the preceding two lines, 25 and 26, then we could easily have, and I suspect we would have, 60% of the people or 51% of the people in the city electing all the members of the board. And my suggesting that the board membership represent insofar as feasible would mean that 1% of the people outside the city would not have one member of the board. But if 40% of the people lived outside the city, they would have two members on the board.
Just one comment, if I may, and that is just to point out or to mention that Representative Davis voiced the same set of concerns that when Representative Gruenberg came to me on this one, this was an additional concern, but the concern with the last line and a half there was also raised by the sponsor, just for the information of the debaters. Yes, sir.
I feel that that's always a possibility anytime you have an at-large situation. The other, I feel that this is a much more persuasive argument, is that in small towns, this will require the creation and reapportionment on a regular basis of election districts. And it would, for example, require a new election district be drawn every time there was a municipal boundary change, or every time a service area was expanded. You'd have to reapportion the board. And this would be passed on in the form of higher rates to the customers. and I'd like to keep the rates down as low as possible. If there's any kind of an abuse, and if these people feel that the situation is abusive, we already have a mechanism to cover that, and that is found on the next page, whereby 25% could request that the APUC come in and regulate. So it's not just a question of whether the people live in the city or outside the city. The question is how fairly they treat the people outside the city. And you could have a group of people who are representative with 40% in the city, outside the city, and 60% in the city, and they treat the people who are outside the city so unfairly that the people would petition the APUC. On the other hand, you could have a group that everybody happens to reside in the city, but they treat the customers outside the city limits fairly, and then there'd be no cause for alarm, and that's, I would have urged my amendment for that reason.
Could we sort of wrap up our arguments on this, Marius?
Demographics being what they are, population will rule. 60% inside the city will tell the 40% outside the city what they can do or what they cannot do. I do not agree that we would have to have election districts or we would incur any particular election cost here. But APUC is not any panacea. In the testimony that we heard on the teleconference about 2 weeks ago, there were several people, and I dare say more people than not, who were against any kind of additional APUC regulation. That APUC regulation would, in fact, lead to higher costs because of the very fact of regulation. I, in fact, disagree with 25% of the people petitioning for regulation. It's been pointed out by Representative Furness and others that this does not guarantee that they would be regulated, but I would bet a dollar to a donut hole that it would. That if you get 25% of the people to petition, their hearing would be held and they would be regulated, and the only people who would decide whether or not they would be regulated would essentially be the commissioners.
Thank you, gentlemen. I think that the members probably have a pretty clear sense of their choice here. I have heard the argument that by having proportional representation that a districting issue might come up and that might cause some expense, but I think to the extent possible modify that to some degree, and it's really just a matter of what you members of the committee prefer to see in this bill. So if there's no further discussion, why don't we bring it to the floor
for a amendment to the amendment. Or a friendly amendment if the maker would consider.
Sure, of course.
Something to this effect, that line 27 is struck on page 1, and the last three words of line 26 are struck. And rather than saying to the extent possible, it would read composition of the user group insofar as feasible, period.
Okay, the amendment has been made by Representative Maru.
So what is the language?
And the new language would read, the membership of the board must reflect the composition of the user group to the extent feasible?
Insofar as feasible.
Insofar as feasible, period.
When we strike the requirement of one board.
All right, so let's call it to the extent feasible. Is that all right?
That would be, the only difference in that first phrase is changing possible to feasible.
And deleting everything from the word with on.
May I inquire of Mr. Maru, how would this be implemented? Would it require that there be, let's say that there are elections to be held or appointed positions, that there be basically designated seats by geography, at least to some extent?
To some extent, yes, to the extent feasible. I mean, 40%, the example I'm using is 40% of the people are extraterritorial, then two of the five seats would be designated, yes.
I would not accept that.
Well, then I recommend it. I propose it as an amendment to the amendment.
The amendment has been made. All those in favor of Representative Maru's amendment to the amendment, which would leave the language from line 25, page 1, through line 27, page 1, to read, the membership of the board must reflect the composition of the user group to the extent feasible. All those in favor of that language signify by saying aye.
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 Two members have signified by saying aye. All those opposed?
Aye.
Four members have indicated opposition. The amendment is defeated. On the amendment itself, by Representative Gruenberg, which would have Section 3 read, if the utility provides services outside the municipality, a resident of any area served by the utility is eligible to serve as a member of the board, and the remaining language of Section 3 is deleted. All those in favor of Representative Gruenberg's amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I believe we have four members saying aye. All those opposed?
Right.
Two members opposing. The amendment is passed. The section from line 25 through line 27 of page 1 is deleted. Is there any final discussion on this legislation before I ask for a motion to move the bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I still find 25% of the people controlling 100% of the people to be, in my feeling, unacceptable, even though we are just, as the commissioner said, we are just starting this process of regulation or non-regulation. Regulators being what they are, they tend to grab as much as they can, and I suspect that in more cases than not, the 25% of the people petitioning for regulation would result in regulation, regardless of what the other 75% would want happen. Therefore, I would suggest, and if necessary, this is in the form of an amendment, that the 25%, so that we don't get into elections, that the 25% be changed to a majority.
Now, excuse me, sir, could you, are you making an
seven,
amendment?
Yes, line 7, page 2.
Line
subject
7,
regulation, if a majority of the customers.
If a majority, so then the amendment by Representative Maru would be to amend line 7, page 2, to delete the words 25% and replace them with a majority.
Mm-hmm.
All those in favor of the amendment.
May we have a brief meeting or something?
All right.
All right. did the chairman have a comment?
Certainly, I have a comment. I think that Mr. Maru's point is very well taken. However, I think the history of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission demonstrates that the 25% has been an insurmountable obstacle in most cases. And my own personal opinion, and it is a personal opinion, is that this is sufficient safeguard. As they indicated, it's only happened once. And when that happened, it was almost the entire village that supported them. If there had been a history of contest on this, the way there is with annexations and such things, I would feel that maybe more discussion is appropriate. But again, I'm just speaking personally. I think the history demonstrates 25% is a pretty good obstacle. I would also suggest that if the amendment is defeated, that Representative Maru submit a minority report, and that I'll see to it that that is passed on to Labor and Commerce and reflects your concerns and certainly can be addressed by that committee. Thank you. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The amendment is defeated with two supporting votes. At this time,
I move to go out with the individual.
Thank you. There's a motion on the floor to move the bill.
Before we vote on it.
Before we vote on
I just
this, Representative
ask
Phillips has a comment.
I just want to ask a basic question. Is Representative Davis pleased with the work product?
Tom,
this is his
you,
bill,
can you,
I think he ought to have a little bit to say about
speak
it.
To that? Just for the record, I have conferred with Representative Davis throughout the process of this committee substitute. The language was developed with him, Carolyn Guest, Representative Maru, and Representative Gruenberg, all having input into the process. The intent of the committee substitute was to deal with the statewide ramifications and not with the local issues, and to simplify the regulatory process and put in some safeguards to prevent over-regulation with 25%. Representative Davis suggested that if we are going to have that part that we struck, he was concerned about the with at least one member clause. I believe that totally concludes Representative Davis's concerns, but Tom, would you verify that for Mr. Hafley? For the record, Representative Davis's aide who is present today indicates Representative Davis concurs with the committee substitute. Any further discussion before we go for a vote on this? All those in favor of moving committee substitute for House Bill 12, CNRA, from the Community and Regional Affairs Committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The bill has been unanimously passed from the committee with individual recommendations. We'll have the sheet for you to sign right now, and staff will convey this to Division of Legal Services to reflect the amendments made by the committee. I'd like to thank you all very much for your interest in this legislation. This meeting is adjourned.
gentlemen, and Kay, just one thing before we go. Excuse me, gentlemen, please, I'm sorry. We are adjourned, but just, I would like to